You like to do that. You know how to do that. You have a skill to do that. I'm not a fisherman. I went a few times and enjoyed it. Didn't always catch a lot. One observation that I made along the way is that when an individual out on a boat comes back, that they make sure to secure that boat to the dock. I think we can see the importance of that, can't we? They do that by tying a knot, right? I looked at some pictures of knots, and evidently there are all sorts of different types of knots that can be tied to ensure that the boat or whatever it might be doesn't get away. We can see the danger of untied knots, can't we? I want us to think this morning about divine knots, some knots or negatives that are placed in the Bible that we've got to leave tied, that we can't untie, we can't undo. If we do, then we'll teach error, we'll practice error, we'll be displeased in the sight of the Lord. And so I want us to think about some divine knots, N-O-T. And you'll see that as we go through the lesson this morning. As was read in our scripture reading from Revelation 22, verse 18 beginning, through verse 21, we see the importance of not adding to, not taking away from the prophecy of God's Word. Specifically, that's talking about the book of Revelation. But generally, the principle applies to all of the Bible. Going back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and then verse 2, thou shalt not diminish off from it. Thou shalt not add to it. We've got to leave things be. In the book of Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, we see the importance of teaching just what the Bible teaches. For there's no other gospel that is saved than that which has been revealed in the Word of God. Matthew 24:35 talks about the importance of God's Word and the fact that it is stand forever. I want us to think about these divine knots this morning. We'll look at about five of them this morning, and then, Lord willing, we'll look at five more this evening. There might be others that, as you study these things, that you'd want to add to this list and study these divine knots that you read about. First one that I want us to think about comes from James chapter 2. Most of you, if you're not all of you, are familiar with what James talks about in the second chapter of his epistle. In James chapter 2, notice what the Bible says in verse 24. He says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified." Now watch this next statement for our first point. "And not by faith only." There's our first divine not, first divine negative. We're justified by works and not by faith only. Faith is important. We can't underestimate that, can we? The Bible says a lot about faith. He defines faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, when he says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report." He says in verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." And so we know the importance of faith in our salvation and our obedience to the will of God. The Bible says that we're justified by it, Romans chapter 5 and in verse 1. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible talks about the fact that we walk by faith, not by sight. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Galatians 2:20. That we live by it. Acts 16:31 talks about the fact that we're saved by faith. In Acts 15:9, as the Jerusalem conference is referred to in Acts 15, and they responded to that question about circumcision. He says in Acts 15, verse 9, that they had purified their hearts. God had purified their hearts by faith. And so we're justified by faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. We're saved by faith. We're purified by faith. But we're not any of those things by faith alone. And that's the point that I want you to see. And throughout the Bible, he talks about that. Like in Galatians chapter 5 and then verse 6. Talks about being in Christ, for in Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith. And relative to faith, you need to think about this next statement. But faith which worketh by love. The faith that saves is one that is obedient, moves us to action, that works the things that God would have us to be doing. In Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus," verse 10, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." But we're not saved by faith alone or anything else alone, are we? We get the point? As we think about divine knots, I want you to think about, as we have just read from Ephesians chapter 2, notice what he says again in Ephesians 2 and in verse 9. Divine knots. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." You know, over and over and over, the Bible talks about works. I've done lessons on that. Here we've talked about in Bible class, or at least from this pulpit, of the various kinds of works that the Bible talks about. Here's one that he's talking about: "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Works wherein an individual could boast or be puffed up concerning them things. In and of ourselves, we can't be saved. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. "Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh," you know the rest of it, "to direct his steps." In and of ourselves, there's nothing we could do in order to be saved. We are dependent upon God. Had God not sent His Son to the world, we couldn't be saved. Had Jesus not shed His blood — by the way, He did not spill His blood, He shed His blood on the cross, so that sins could be remitted, Matthew 26 and then verse 28. Without that, we couldn't be saved. "For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 22 talks about that. There's various kinds of works in the Bible. I want to mention some of them to you. You might want to make a note of these. Write these down as you think about works. He just said in Ephesians 2, and then verse 9, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." In Galatians 2:16, he talks about the works of the law of Moses: "For by the works of the law no man shall be justified." In Ephesians 5:11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful what? Unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." In Ephesians 2:9, we just read about boastful works. Works wherein a person could boast, brag, or be puffed up about. Galatians 5:19 talks about the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are these. It talks about the works of the Spirit. Works of self in 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 9. In the book of Titus chapter 3 and in verse 5, notice what he says: "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit," the Holy Ghost. And then the works of God, John 5, 28 and 29. The way of a Christian is the way of a life filled full of action. From the beginning of obedience to the gospel of Christ, from the time you come up out of the watery grave of baptism, till the day you die, busy about doing what God would have you to do, if we want heaven to be our home. We know that's the case because in Acts 2 and in verse 40, the Bible says concerning Peter that with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." They had to obey what the Bible said, or what the Scriptures says was revealed to the apostles, pinned down for us to read, believe it, and obey it. We've got to respond in obedience to the will of God. It's not of ourselves, not of works. But also, I want you to think about what is stated in Matthew 7, verse 21. Most of you can quote this reference. So we think about divine knots. Watch what the Lord says: "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Do we realize today that not everyone is going to be saved? I wish everyone would go to heaven. I wish everyone would obey the gospel of Christ, live their life in a way that would be pleasing to God, die in the Lord, and enjoy the joys of heaven for all eternity come the judgment day. Don't you? But that's not going to happen. And it's not the situation that it's not going to happen because it can't happen in the sense that people cannot obey the gospel of Christ, because they can. But they will not. And so not everyone is going to heaven. Paul makes that clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Know ye not, or don't you know, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven? Be not deceived, neither. And he lists several that simply will not go to heaven. Some of those Corinthians had practiced those things, but they had obeyed the gospel of Christ. The majority of people are going to be lost come the judgment day. In Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for broad is the way, or wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Over and over the Bible talks about those that will be saved and those that will be lost. Those that will be saved are those that will do the Father's will. That's the text in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. They have an obedient faith. Right? James 2, the chapter talks about that. For as a body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. James chapter 1 talks about it. As he talks about being doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. James chapter 1, verse 22, beginning. It says, for if any man be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face in a natural glass. Behold, his face goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, that means he's obedient to it, steadfast. Be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. I want to ask you this morning. If the judgment were to come today, would you be saved? Where would you stand come the judgment? Remember the picture that is painted for us by the Lord Himself in Matthew 25? When all nations would be gathered before Him on that day, you're going to be on the left or the right. Where will I stand? I've got to answer that for myself. But there's another one I want you to think about and consider for a moment. That's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Very simple statement. For we walk by faith, not by sight. There was a time when individuals believed as a result of seeing miracles and signs that were performed before them. We talked about John chapter 4 for a moment this morning in the Bible class. Remember, it was in John chapter 4 that a lady ended up believing as a result of what the Lord had stated. Others believed as a result of what she said and then believed when they heard the Lord Himself. In John 9, at the healing of a blind man, a man who was born in that condition, not as a result of his sin, the Lord made that clear and begin with verse 1. People believe. But the Word has been confirmed. It was confirmed by the miracles and the signs and the wonders. I know that's the case because the Bible says that in Mark 16 and in verse 20. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them who was received up into heaven, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That's why Jesus performed miracles. That's why the apostles performed miracles, was for confirmation of the Word. But the writer of the book of Hebrews says that the Word has already been confirmed to us. Needs no confirmation today. That's already been done. We have it completed in the Bible. God's complete final revelation to man. And so we don't walk by sight. I've never seen heaven before. Neither of you. I've never seen hell before. But by, through the eye of faith, I believe that those things exist. Where did I obtain that faith? I've never seen it. Wasn't by sight. By the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, right? We say that every Sunday. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. John 20, 30 and 31. And I want to jot that down as he talks about the purpose of that writing. Many other passages you could add to that. Number five. As we think about divine knots. In the book of Proverbs chapter 23 and in verse 23. Proverbs 23:23. The wise man penned, buy the truth and sell it not. Whatever it takes, obey the truth. Obtain the truth. And once you have the truth, don't turn loose of it. That's the principle. Over and over, the Bible talks about the importance of truth. We talk about John 8:32 a lot of times. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, we've never been in bondage to anyone, the religious leaders would ask. We talked about being free from sin, not being a servant of sin. That doesn't happen, by the way, simply because this Word has already been revealed. It's been revealed to all mankind. But yet not everyone is saved. We already talked about that. Matthew 7:21. So how does the truth set me free? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6. But it's been revealed for all mankind. Both sinner and saint have access to it. Right? At least in our country, we ought to be thankful for that fact. Some countries still outlaw the Bible. China being one of them. We have the answer to that question in Romans chapter 6. He talks about the contrast between their life before they obeyed the gospel of Christ and after they obeyed. And he said, begin with verse 16, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That's what the Lord said in John 8, talking about the servant of sin. Paul says, if you yield yourselves servants to him, then you're his servant, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked, he said, that you were, that's past tense, you used to be, God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin. That is, after their obedience, you became the servants of righteousness. Folks, that's the condition of every one of us this morning that's obeyed the gospel of Christ. We used to be the servants of sin, but we obeyed. And it was only after our obedience that we became the servants of righteousness. That's how the truth makes one free, by the way. It'd do you no good to hear it this morning, to even believe it, if you won't obey it. It'd do you no good, me no good, no one else any good. Never has, never will. If we don't hear it and obey it. Buy the truth and sell it not. In the book of Psalms, the 19th Psalm, he talks about this picture of how beautiful the Word of God is. Psalm 19, begin with verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Now watch verses 10 and 11. More to be desired are they. That's the commandments, the statutes, the testimonies, the judgments of the Lord that He just talked about. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. How precious do you esteem the truth? Enough to buy it and sell it not? Remember the pearl of goodly pearl of great price, or the pearl of great price? Matthew 13:45-46. How precious that was. Or a treasure. The man found and he hid it in the field and he bought that field. How much do we esteem truth? The Word of God. It's powerful. I've told you, and I'll tell you again, it bears repeating, that the Word of God would do more for the lives of men and women than any other book that has ever been written. Hebrews chapter 4 and then verse 12 talks about that. For the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Paul talked about the powerfulness of the gospel in Romans 1:16. God's power to save. It'll do that this morning for you if you'll obey it. Maybe you're here this morning. You never obeyed the gospel, but today is the day that you've purposed to do it. There's only one way to become a Christian. That's to hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. Will you repent of your sins? Have that change of mind that results in a change of life? Luke 13:3. Confess your faith before those present this morning that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. We'll baptize you into Christ. Plunge beneath the water. Acts 2:38. Where the blood of Christ will wash away your sins. Revelation 1:5. Maybe you have done that. But you've fallen away in a long life's way. You've pulled up your anchor of steadfastness. And as a result of that, you've drifted away. Dirtied yourself up with the sins of the world. But you want to be restored. You need to repent of those things. Make confession of them. We'll pray with you and for you. Why not come right now? Thank you.